Ask for God's blessing.
Our God, we do thank you for our Savior Christ. We come in his name. We thank you for our mediator. We thank you that we can draw near with boldness because of him. And we thank you. You've made us your children. We pray that we'll grow in grace and with respect to salvation. Help us as we study. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. And we're currently trying to apply the doctrine of adoption, the truth that I am his child and he is my
heavenly father. We learned in Ephesians 1:5 that he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. We learned in Galatians 4:4-5, that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And in Galatians 3:26, we learned, for you are sons through faith in Jesus Christ. And the importance and helpfulness of applying this truth is expressed nicely in Valley of Vision, where it reads on page 113, O Sovereign Lord, you are Creator Father of all men, for you've made them and do support them. But you are the special Father, the adopted Father, of those who know, love, and honor you, who find your yoke easy and your burden light, your work honorable, your commandments glorious. But how little your undeserved goodness has affected me. How imperfectly have I improved my religious privileges. How negligent have I been in doing good to others. This is a great truth, and we're kind of taking a detailed and extended attempt to apply it, to ask ourselves those questions, so what? Why does it matter? How can I incorporate this truth into my daily lives? We want to apply it so we can guard against, as I just read, being a little affected by God's undeserved goodness to us in making us his children, to guard against squandering that Christian privilege, to guard against negligence in doing good to others, because that's what our Father wants. So, having received the truth and comprehended it, I hope, we're asking ourselves, how does it apply? The first application we learned when we looked at 1 John 3 is that it's a measure of God's love to us. See how, 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. And the second point of application, which is actually the one that we're currently engaged in, is that the truth that I'm his child and he's my father guides, I'll just use that, and drives and motivates my Christian conduct every day, or ought to. And at least in three ways. The child of God seeks to glorify my Father in what I do. We learned that from Matthew 5:16, Jesus speaking to the lights of the world, but do your good works so that men may see them and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Secondly, it guides our conduct in that I seek to imitate my Father. And thirdly, which we learned in Matthew 5:43 and following, you can turn back there, we're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount for the start of our study today. And thirdly, that we just barely got to last time, it guides our conduct in that the child of God seeks to please his or her heavenly Father. Because we're his children, that truth ought to guide and direct the way we live.
And I'll just reread Matthew 5, 43 through 48, where we came to understand that we ought to imitate our Father. Listen to Jesus again, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? In order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, child of God, imitate your Father in the way you live. Follow his pattern of broad, rain and shine, open-handed, indiscriminate, generous, common grace, giving of goodness to others, whether they're your friends or not, to the evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous. Imitate your Father in your demonstration of goodness to others. And the stunning conclusion was verse 48. Therefore, you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect puts God's saving purpose and our present conduct in kind of perspective. When he saved us, God the Holy Judge justifies and accepts our persons as perfectly righteous for the sake of Jesus by faith alone. Plus, when he saves us, God grants us a new birth in the indwelling Holy Spirit, also known in Galatians 4 as the Spirit of adoption, by the way. And we, by faith, become his adopted children. Thereafter, after we come to Christ, for the daily duration of our Christian lives, our Heavenly Father undertakes to make his children really and personally righteous in our behavior, in our conduct, in our character, in a progressive process that we call sanctification. And in fact, that'll be the next doctrine we get to, that extends over the course of our life. And his good work, which he began in us when we came to Christ, he will finally bring to perfection in the day of Christ Jesus. We learn that in Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to perfection in the day of Christ Jesus. And our role in this process, from the time we come to Christ to that day of Christ Jesus when he perfects us, is to, among other things, imitate our Father, relying on his enabling grace, walking by the Spirit, abiding in Christ. As we do, his image is being renewed in us. We're being conformed to the image of Christ in a perfecting process, which we pursue imperfectly in this life, with many failures and recoveries along the way. As Peter describes it, it's a growth process, growth in respect to salvation. And that's our Christian life. Now note how Paul also tells us to imitate our Father in Ephesians 4, 32 and following. You can turn there. Just we're consolidating this point a little bit. Imitate your Father. Ephesians 4, and then I'm going to read verse 5, which is more specific, and verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, and chapter 5, verse 2. The last verse in verse 32, I think, kind of spills over into chapter 5. Anyhow, verse 32 of Ephesians 4 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant
aroma. God in Christ, according to verse 32, has been kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to you and me. Therefore, we should do what, according to chapter 5, verse 1?
Imitate.
That's right. And imitate Him as His children. He's applying for us the doctrine of our adoption, the fact that we've been made the children of God, and part of being a Christian, part of being a child of God, is imitating our Father in, for example, being tender-hearted and forgiving to one another. Boy, that's kind of basic and kind of important and kind of everyday practical. Charles?
So, we're to stand out and not just go along to get along with a neighbor. We're to go beyond that. Certainly avoid malice. And instead, show the kind of regard
That's right. So Charles is saying in our Christian lives, we don't just kind of, we're not on cruise control, but we go beyond. And you say, well God, what if I forget what I'm supposed to do? What if I forget how I'm supposed to proceed? Well, go back to your Bible and imitate your Father. That's kind of the point of orientation. And the point we're making is that the Bible commands the children of God to imitate their Heavenly Father. Thus, the truth of adoption has a controlling influence on our conduct. But I can tell you're still not convinced. Okay, fine. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. You're a stubborn crowd. All right. I'm going to keep pounding away until you come to see this point. Now, you remember, I just referenced 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It's a measuring stick of God's love to us. It's a good verse to know. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See how great love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." That's who we are. We've been over that ground. But listen to what the children of God shall be. That's in verse 2. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is." Well, if you are here, the child of God, that's what we are now. What shall we be in the future? According to verse 2. You'll be like Him. Thank you, Randall. I can usually count on Randall to come through. We shall be like Him. And when will that be?
When He appears.
That's the future time we're talking about. The day of Christ Jesus, in other words. He who began the good work in you will bring it to perfection in the day of Christ Jesus. All right? That's good. That's what we are. That's what we shall be. Verse 3 describes the present pursuit of the children of God who shall be like Him in that day. Listen to verse 3. "And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So what then is the present occupation, pursuit, goal of the child of God as he or she anticipates that day of perfection?
Purify yourself.
How purify yourself? He tells us further how to purify ourselves.
Fixed on Him.
All right, good. His says, fixed on Him. Mine says, purify yourself as He is pure. Or in other words, we might say, imitate your Father. Purify yourself, seeking to be like Him. This is helpful. This guides our daily living.